my family last week and my mom, and she's got her house all set, and she's getting ready to retire and move this week, and so please pray for her. We had a neat time, too. We went and visited a church while we were out there on Sunday morning. We didn't know if we were going to have time, but we were able to. And as we were talking about Mother's Day, obviously, they got up and the pastor stood up and he says, "We have a special gift for you." And he pulls out these cool little bags that button into a little like handbag thing. So they're the exact same thing that we were giving out. And so just kind of a neat, very hilarious thing as we were doing that. Now, they had the red and blue. We had red and black. They had red and blue. So just a minor difference. I think Kendra got a blue one as we go. But it's been neat. It's been kind of a full morning already. We celebrated traditions this morning as we were downstairs and got to sing together. And it started actually even earlier than that. For me, at about 8:45, 8:50, we had a truck pull in. And it was a little girl who, her name was Janet, who was a Girl Scout. And she took it upon herself to want to make a difference in her community. And so she went around to different neighborhoods around her and handed out flyers with her phone number that she was going to be collecting food for people in need. And so this was part of one of her Girl Scout projects that she was doing. And she talked to John a couple of weeks ago and then called me yesterday and said, "Hey, I have some food to be delivered." And I said, "Okay, how much do you have?" She says, I don't know, we're going to weigh it, but it should be about 100 pounds worth of food." And I'm like, "Man, that's amazing, incredible." This little girl comes in, and she gets here this morning, and I start talking to her and before we started unloading. "So how'd you do? What'd you do?" "Well, we weighed it all, and we have 500.2 pounds of food," is what they did. And so we ended up carrying that in this morning. And to just see her face kind of light up as she was doing this and how excited she was. She has a little notebook with all the different things. And I think they weighed the food maybe on like a home bathroom scale or something, because they're adding, you see all these little tally sheets up to 502. And just exciting, neat to see how she took that on and made a difference. And really, for her, how exciting that was and what it was to reach this huge goal of to breaking 500, and you know, she thought she was going to have 100 pounds. And you talk to Dad, Dad's like, "Yeah, it was a lot of work." And she did all the planning and stuff, but you know, Dad had to drive and load cars and all that. So we had some work this morning unloading as we did that. But it's interesting as that comes up is that it has a lot to do with what we're talking about this morning as we begin a series called The Blessed Life. Now, I have to tell you, this series, and there are a couple more we'll be doing, originated at another church called lifechurch.tv somewhere back in the Midwest, Oklahoma, Arkansas. I don't know, they're all the same. I got some of you. And actually, they're in Oklahoma and Arkansas and other states because they have something like 30-some different campuses down there, and they provide resources for free to church and graphic, all kinds of other neat stuff. As I was going through the different series, I read this, and I thought, "Blessed. Wow, that's awesome." Now, how many of you would consider yourself blessed? Right here? Yeah, a lot of you would. Now, how many of you would consider yourself rich? Phil over there, he's got the big cash or whatever. So a couple of you consider yourself rich. You know the difference? Yeah, you know, sometimes you know in how we look at the rest of the world. But now, how many of you, now we had a lot of you, most of you raise up your hands for that you feel blessed, and very few, if any of you, raise your hand that you're rich. But how many of you would like to be more blessed? How many of you would just love to be more blessed? Like more, I want more of the presence of God. I want more ways for Him to be in my life, to bless me with the stuff to make a difference and to be more blessed. And as I read through this series, I thought, what a great idea to understand what it means to be blessed and even how to lead the blessed life. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about what it means and really how to lead a blessed life. Now, I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot of interviews throughout the years on TV. And you see these people, and they're in the soup kitchen, and you know, or they're feeding somebody, or they're doing something good for someone else. And of all those interviews, I've never seen someone come up and they interview them and ask them, "Why are you doing this?" "Well, it's because I'm helping and I'm giving away food and clothing and stuff because I have a miserable life. My life stinks. It's horrible, and God hates me, and so I'm going to do something for someone else. I've never seen that interview. Almost every interview I've ever seen has this person saying, well, it's because I'm blessed, because God has blessed me, because I have a lot in my life. And we look at it, and it's not the understanding of what it means to be blessed is not just about stuff. And as we saw, even in our little informal kind of poll here, it has more to do with attitude. But there's a principle behind it, and that principle comes in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. And if you want to turn there, Acts chapter 20, verse 35, the page is in your bulletin if you want to look it up. And in this context, Paul is talking about how he has taken care of himself, made a difference in the communities, and how ultimately in that process that he's taking care of himself, and he's telling the churches to help others, and what he was saying. And so he comes down to this Acts chapter 20, verse 35, and in that he quotes Jesus. And so he says, Paul says this, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said. It is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I've told you I can't hear. Kendra's giving me the look like I'm probably talking too loud. So I need you to help me here. If you just on the count of three, I want you all together to say the word blessed so I know I can hear you at some point. Let's see. One, two, three. Blessed. All right. So this is what it means to be blessed, to see God blessing, is that it's about giving more than receiving. In fact, this is the key to understanding the blessed life. If you're one of those people who writes stuff down, likes to take notes, write down the key is to give. It's more blessed to give than to receive. You see that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And we see this in the lives of people, in the ways that we go. And I said we see people out in the world who are giving and who are doing stuff, and they often tell you why they're doing it is because they're blessed. We have a little girl who came in this morning and took an effort to make a difference. And her dad, other than driving and being tired from carrying some stuff, he said all the work was hers, the weighing of the food, the planning and everything, because it was on her. He had to do the driving because I think she was, I don't know what she was, 10 or 12, probably wouldn't have been good for her to drive. We lost all the food. But if you want to experience this concept of the blessed life, and I most of you said here, I want to be blessed more. I want to have more. We begin with this understanding that it is about giving and not just receiving. So often we think it's about receiving, but living the blessed life, being more blessed, begins by giving and not just receiving. In fact, those are the words of Jesus, and we've heard this over and over and over again. For years, and this will probably tell, and I don't do it as much as I used to for a few different reasons, but throughout the years I've worked with college students and had an opportunity to know when people were in need and different things. And Kendra and I, and even before I got married, used to do this. I would do a lot of anonymous gifts for people I know. Especially some of the college students who weren't making it or whatever. I'd take an envelope, and maybe it was an intern or somebody. I'd take an envelope, put a bunch of cash in it, and just write their name on it and leave it at the church. And watch when they receive an envelope full of cash. And it's not like a lot, but to a college student, $100 is a fortune, right? They're thinking that's Del Taco for a year. And so they know, they're looking at that. And a couple of younger people over here, yeah, that's Del Taco's, yeah. You live on that. But I always remember getting to see them, and I'd get to watch them open it, but regularly, Fred, can you believe this? Somebody left me an envelope with money in it. Like, what? Why would anybody leave you an envelope with money? You know, that's always my reply. And they'd go on and on, and I was like, oh, that's just amazing. And I get to celebrate with them and be exciting for me to enjoy that. And so we see that. This week, I had a similar experience on the other end. My birthday is next month, and so my birthday is next month. If you didn't hear that, my birthday is next month. I say that because Kendra has struggled throughout the years to find me what gifts are the perfect gift. And this year, she has found the perfect gift. And you know how I know she's found the perfect gift? Because she's been telling me over and over and over she's found the perfect gift. And then she says, I want to tell you, but I want it to be a surprise. And I'm like, well, then don't tell me. She goes, but I want you to be happy with me that I found the perfect gift. And so she's excited, and this excitement about finding my gift. Now, this again, my birthday is a month away, but she's trying. I know she can't hold it out, and I'm the worst because I'm like, well, it's all right, just don't tell me. And she's like, no, I want to tell you. No, it's okay. And so then I play guessing, a whole bit. But she's so excited. By the way, I do know. So what at least. Listen, lying. She did. She ended up telling me because she couldn't hold it in because she was so excited to get that perfect gift. Now, if you think about that in your own life, with people you know, think about with your kids and grandkids and family and friends when you got them that perfect birthday present or Christmas present, and they tear it open and they're excited and they just fall in love. And how does that make you feel? You just have this sense of, wow, that's incredible, and you're so excited, or maybe to get to go shopping. And so we see this concept at work every day in our lives. People around us and the way we experience it. And so we know it and we see it. And the reality is that if you can get this concept, in the depth of who you are, it is life-changing. It is absolutely life-changing when you get it into the depths of who you are. And it begins to transform the way you think. We're in the middle of the really more like the beginnings of the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace Series. And I got to tell you, I love what he's doing because it's changing some of the ways I think in such drastic ways about what I want to do. Now, I love being generous, but I'm looking at Dave thinking, boy, you mean I could be more generous at some point and be able to do that? And it's who I want to be. And so I love what he's doing. And so if we get to this point where we understand this, it is truly life-changing because you become what? More blessed. When you live in such a way, you become more blessed. We see this. We call this, is what we can say, is it becomes the heart of generosity, which is the title of this message. If you look, you don't need to turn there. I just want to read to you Proverbs 11:24-25. It says this: one man gives freely, it gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. You get that? One who gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. That is the nature of leadership, ministry, Christianity, is that we minister and care for others. I said this in churches, and we do this, and we say, we need you to help in children's ministry or youth ministry or music ministry. And I will say that sometimes, but if you've ever had a conversation with me and you're growing, what I will say to you is you need to help in these ministries, because it's not just that you go and you give and give and give. It's that you get more than you could ever give. When I went into the youth ministry, I thought, man, this is going to be so tiring and draining. I found myself more energized and more enthusiastic about the way it is. I love this church. This church is an example of that, of people who, as I give back and even give more, and so loving and incredible. And as you give, you find yourself being refreshed and renewed, and that God uses you. And there are times that you get tired, and yet God can work in the midst of that. As we think about this, there are three mindsets that come to mind, and as we see them in Scripture, and this is Craig, the guy who wrote this, talks about these three mindsets. And the reality is these mindsets impact the way we live every day. But the mindsets become about stuff, and our understanding of what it means to be more blessed is greater than just stuff. When we think about it, sometimes we think, well, yeah, I'm blessed, or they're blessed, or this, and we think about how big the house is or the car or whatever. And maybe we don't, but our society does. They think about what it means. And sometimes even in churches today, there are churches today who teach us, if you just do for God, he'll just give you lots more money. And I've heard preachers talk about the only reason they have private jets because they've preached at specific places. And we miss when we hold God to this concept of just things and material and materialism, we miss the true blessings of God and what He has in mind. Because being more blessed isn't just about stuff. Now, stuff has to do with it, but it's beyond that. Let me read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I'm going to read verses 6 through 8 and verse 11. It says this, and it's a principle that we know we've heard. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let me stop there. So we've seen this principle at work, that whoever sows generously reaps generously. Farmers know this. This is a farming term people he's talking to. You throw out a lot of seed and you get a lot of plants. If you don't throw out a lot of seed, you don't get any plants. You get whatever you put out, and sometimes not even that. And then he says this. He says you should make a decision ahead of time before you give. And when you do it, give cheerfully. And we read that word. It means hilarious, actually. It means hilarity, like you're going crazy having fun. I know of some churches that they were started as a brand new church, a church plant, and the pastor was teaching on giving. And it somehow, during their offering time, when they take offering, they get up and start cheering because he was teaching on this passage because it was so hilarious. And they just enjoy it. I've heard, and I don't know of any of them personally, but I've heard stories of churches in other parts of the country where the offering time, people, it's like they have play music and get up and dance to bring down their offering and dance down the aisle to give their offering. And God loves a cheerful giver. If you're giving under compulsion, you're doing it wrong, and stop. If that's what you're doing, stop. Doug's giving me the look right now. But I'm just teasing you, Doug, you know. I wouldn't be back if I wasn't teasing you. So, you know, we understand it's more than just stuff. And so it's this giving cheerfully. And he says this, verse 8, he goes on. He says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. See, well, when we read that, we have to get out of our mind that it's just about stuff, because it's in all things, in every way, and His grace will abound to us, and God will speak into our life and do more into our life and be more part of everything we do when we come to this mindset that says, I want to be this person that God calls me to be this generous person, to live in a way where Jesus says that I will be more blessed. Because if I am generous, I will be what? More blessed. We live that way in our lives. We understand that. And yet, so what's the problem? We read this and we see this, and we've even have culturally, people don't even know those are Jesus' words when he says, more blessed to give than to receive. And people quote that often. So what's the problem? The problem is the mindsets that we have. The mindsets that people have, and I have to tell you, I've been there on this. And the first mindset is this. If you're taking notes, again, write this down. The bag mindset. They have the bag mindset. This comes from Haggai chapter 1, verse 6, and it says this. And I'm going to read you the NIV version. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. The King James Version says a bag with holes in it. You earn wages, but only to put them in a purse with holes in it. The bag mindset is this idea that there's never enough. That you can never have enough. And it feels like this sometimes, that your wallet, your purse, your bank account has holes in it. That every time you put something into it, it just disappears. And every time you think, gosh, I've just got it together. I've just got enough. I finally have some money in the bank. Then all of a sudden, bam, the transmission goes out. Your alternator goes out. You blow a tire. You know, somebody in the family needs braces. Or, you know, you don't know what it is, but at some level, it just seems like there's never enough for what you need. Something is always going wrong. We see this bag mentality in our society today so much. It's about me. I just never have enough. I need more, more. In fact, we're feeling some of the functions of it, and I am too, in that we think about how big houses have gotten throughout the years. Now, some of you live in houses that were built in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and you know, whatever that was. And you remember, they had a bedroom and a kitchen and a living room. They're tiny. And now sometimes today we see brand new houses that they're so giant that the whole house will fit in. And there's nothing wrong with having a bigger house. But when we get to this point where we've gotten, where we overextend ourselves so far that we can't even afford what we have to keep up with the size of these houses and have a bigger bag mentality. See, the reality is this attitude, this bag mentality, is not just common today. And I know I may be stepping on some toes. And the reality, it's not just about stuff. It's about your heart and your attitude, as I said. But this attitude isn't just happened today. And in fact, there was a prominent person that we know about that had this attitude in Scripture. He was the guy who handled the money for Jesus and his friends. He was the guy who betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He was the guy that when a woman came in who wanted to worship Jesus before he was going to his death, a woman came in and she broke a very expensive bottle of perfume and she poured it on Jesus to worship him. And his bag mentality said, "Wait a minute, what are you doing? We could have used that money for something else. Why are you wasting it on Jesus? Why are you wasting it on anointing him, on worshiping? What? We could have used it to do something else, to feed someone else, to provide, to do whatever." Because Judas had this bag mentality. He had this concept that there was never enough. I have to tell you, I struggle with that, and it's difficult. And I think I grew up in many ways with that, and I'm doing my best to move away from that. But the reality is this bag mindset says there's never enough. And in fact, the bag mindset kind of looks like this in this video here.
ありがとう。
He brought the pie.
Hey,
kind of funny and convicting, isn't it? Sometimes when we see this, and that the bag mentality says there's never enough, and if I do that, what I do is that, because I don't know if there's ever going to be enough, I wait, and at the end, if there's something left over that I think is more than I need, then I'll give it to God, or I'll give it to people in need, or I'll give to charity, because everyone knows that it's more blessed to give than to receive, but we come back with this idea of this bag mentality, and that there's never enough. They're putting holes in it. There's holes at the bottom of your bag, in the bottom of your purse, in the bottom of your wallet, and just seems to disappear over and over again. I have to tell you, it's one of the things when I'm watching our DVD series, Dave Ramsey talks about building wealth. It's one of the things I appreciate. He says it's not just about stuff. It's about becoming someone who can be generous and make a difference. Now, maybe you've had that, or maybe you're there, or maybe you're not. But there's a second mentality here that we call the basket mentality. And if the bag mentality says there's never enough, the basket mentality says there's more than enough. That there's plenty for what we need. And it says this, it says that there's more than we could ever use, and so we'll be generous with what we have. And it comes in this passage in Luke chapter 6, where Jesus says that the basket is pressed down, overflowing, and it's where these concept of these laborers, what would happen is, in that time, there were two kinds of people that would come along to a rich man's house or a rich worker's house, and there were the laborers and the poor people. And what would happen is whenever the harvesting was done, you had to take the wheat from one place to another. And if you were a laborer, you came in and you had these big baskets that you had to carry from one place to another, and you would fill the basket maybe halfway. Because if you filled it halfway, you wouldn't have to carry as heavy a weight. And so you'd fill it halfway. But if you were a poor person, when you came down to get this grain, because it was in the law that they're supposed to leave over, and if you had a generous landowner, he'd say, come down, bring your basket, and fill it up. And so what do you do when you're a poor person and you have this basket? You have this and you fill it up to the top. And then once you fill it up to the top, you shake it down. So you get all the air pockets out, right? And so you pull more on. And so that it's overflowing when you're done. And you have this overflow when you're done. Now, I see some of you aren't farming people or haven't done the basket thing. Maybe I can get you where you live in some ways. It's like when you go into Thrifty's ice cream and want that hand-packed quart of ice cream, you know? And you look, and the guy takes a couple of scoops, and you know there's air in the side, and he just puts it in, and he's like, you're like, no. And you see the other guy who's there, and he's like squashing it down, right? He's squashing it down for every little bit of air that's out, and then he can't even get the lid on, and it squishes the ice cream out. That's what he means by pressed down and flowing over, is that when you have this, you want it to overflow. And this is the basket mentality, that you want to have more, and that there is more, and that it just overflows, and that's what God does. And we recognize that's what God is doing in our life. Years ago, in youth ministry, we used to do garage sales in North Orange. They'd be massive, and they'd take, you know, days to put on, but months to plan for and prep for. And we had a lady who really owned that, and she kind of ran the whole thing. It was just phenomenal. And they used to go, they'd be doing from like 9 to 2. And it wouldn't fail. Every time about noon, she'd have a sale. And she'd do a dollar. She'd go around, start to hand out bags. And she'd say, a dollar for this bag, anything you can fit into it. And so whatever you can fit in this bag, you can have for a dollar. And you would see people coming up to our little counter they'd have, and then the bag would be full, and there'd be like a coffee pot sticking out of the side, where it's not really in the bag, but it's on there, and it's this idea that this is the way God does, just overflowing with God has done. That God can use that, and that you see that, all right, God, I've got this, and what you've given me is not just for me, but for other people. That it can make a difference in other people's lives. So you can be generous, and you see this concept of living blessed life, and God gives to you so you can give more. And God can give more than you could ever could. And you can't outgive God. It's similar to a concept I said last week in your Bible study. Mike said it. What was the one phrase? You can't out-sin God's grace. God loves you, so He's paid the price. You can't outgive God. And so when you give to Him, when you're willing to allow God to use what you have, that He can make a difference with it. We see this in Scripture. Jesus was up teaching one day on a mountain. And, you know, Jesus liked to talk. He was a preacher. And so He liked to go on and on. And at some point it came about noon. And they were like, wait a minute, hey Jesus, these people have been here for a while. They're pretty hungry. And Judas' response, well, even if we could buy food, we don't have enough money to buy food for all these people. And Jesus says, how many others? Sit them down. And He says, what do we have? And this little boy comes up and he's going, well, I got 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all He's got for these thousands and thousands of people. 5,000 is what we understand. That's just the men, so it's probably more than double that. And so He's got these 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so Jesus starts giving it out to people. And next thing you know, everybody's sitting down and they're eating. And they've eaten it all up. And Jesus tells the disciples, go get baskets and fill up with whatever's left over. And by the time they were done, there were 12 basketfuls of leftovers out of 5 loaves and 2 fish. See, if we just live on God's leftovers, we'll be blessed with more than we ever have. See, what we got to learn is that we can do more with 90% that's blessed by God than 100% that's not. Do you get that? Now, I want you to get this if you get anything today. You can do more with 90% that's blessed by God than 100% that's not. See, God can take what we have and do more than we can imagine. And if we live on God's leftovers, it'll be more than we could ever imagine. This is the basket mentality, that what I have is overflowing. It's overflowing more, and so God can use it to make a difference. And I believe that's where a lot of people who I know, and based on what I know about the giving, the loving, and the generosity of this church, I believe that the majority, if not all of our people, live in that place. It's an incredible place to live. And I'm thankful that God uses that for us. And then, so we have this bag mentality said that there's never enough. Just never enough. And we have this basket mentality that says, well, there's enough. It overflows and God can give. And it just overflows from what we have. The third mentality is this, and it's this thinking. It's the barn mentality. It's the barn mentality. It's not just that it just overflows and God gives up, but He gives more than we could ever imagine. And there are people who live like this. I was at a meeting with the church planting group, and they were talking about this guy who, I forget what company it was, that they were doing, but he was a Christian and goes to a church in L.A. And they said for an event that he rented out something like Staples Center. I forget exactly where it was, but Staples Center put on a whole giant event so his pastor could come and do an Easter message to these workers. And there were tens of thousands of people. The guy provided food and the whole bit, and he asked the guy, because he was connected to the company, the pastor apparently asked him, he says, hey, listen, I know how these corporate things work, and I know how they go. I know you'll let me talk about God, but how much can I say about Jesus? He says, you're here to preach Jesus. And this guy, who was a billionaire, used what he had to make a difference with his employees and the people in the center that he's working with. God has people we can use in this barn mentality, this overflow, this understanding that God will bless what you have beyond what you could imagine. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 8 says, the Lord will send a blessing on your barns and everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land He has given you. That God can bless that barn mentality. Not everybody has it, but He can use it to make a difference in our lives and a difference in the people around us. One of the people who we see in Scripture who went to this barn mentality, and in other translations called barns, the storehouse, that we have this happening right now, is Joseph. We remember Joseph, who started out with his brothers and he said some stuff to them and they threw him in a pit. And Joseph went from this pit that God used to bless him, but he went from there to prison. And because he was faithful with what he had in prison, that God put him in the palace. And in the midst of that palace, Joseph had said to these people, listen, there's going to be a famine. Let's start collecting and collecting to fill up our storehouses, our barns, and so that when the famine comes, we'll be ready. And because God had blessed Joseph with this barn mentality, this idea, he began to bless the barn so that eventually that when the famine came and people all over the land were hungry, that Joseph was not only able to feed Egypt, but all the people around him. And Joseph was blessed, the Word of God tells us over and over again. And so you know, I want you to get, this is not just about money or stuff, but one of the things that Joseph was blessed with because he had done what God had called him to and he was faithful was his family. That Joseph was blessed with the return of his family. If you've read that story, you know. In the midst of his faithfulness and doing what God had called him to do and serving in that, with his barn mentality, his family who was hungry had come to him. And eventually they're back together. They're reunited. Because God will bless you with all grace that abounds in all things and in all ways. It's not just about stuff. But it is about honoring God. And it's not for us. It's not just so we can go have more stuff in a bigger house and, you know, go buy a boat so we can go skiing on weekends and then miss church. And that's not a blessing from God. That's not a blessing from God. So God can use us. You know, in Luke chapter 12, there's a story of a guy who had a lot of stuff. And he had so much stuff, he didn't know what to do with it. And his barns were overflowing. And so he said, I know what I'll do is I'll tear down my barns and build bigger barns. And I'll make more storage and get more stuff. And Jesus said to the man, the Lord said to him, you fool, for tonight your life will be demanded of you. It's not about the barn. See, this guy had barn resources with a bag set mentality. He had barn resources with a bag mentality. And the reality is, no matter what, that we all come to this place where we don't live forever. We don't know, but we can make a difference for God, for His kingdom, for what God wants to do in our lives. He can make a difference in who we are. See, the reality is with who we are and everything we are, if we want to lead the blessed life, well, it's better to give than to receive. If we want to be more blessed, it's about being generous in giving. And that begins with God Himself. That goes to God first. It says this, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Let me read that again. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. The reality is it comes by honoring God first. And I know what you, maybe you're thinking out there, well, Fred, yeah, you're the preacher and the church just wants money. Let me tell you, that's not what we're about here. The God wants more than your money. He wants all of you. And if you're looking at me right now and you said, Fred, I don't trust you. I don't know if I trust. Don't give it here. If you're worried about that, don't give it here. Find some place where you can give it to. Not where you can have control over it, because that's not trusting God, where I'm going to give a little here and a little here. But where you can give it to, there's lots of ministries out there. I trust Dave Ramsey, and I do believe you should give to the church that you're going to, but it's bigger than that. It's more important than that, because it's about your life and trusting God with what you have. To lead the blessed life is to honor God first with everything you have and everything you are. Give to where you don't have control, where God can use that to bless someone else. But give, because it's not that the church needs your money or God needs your money, but you need to trust God with what you have, because that's what it's all about. My prayer is that for every single one of us, that we would move, if we're in this bag mentality, that we would move to this basket mentality. That we'd see the abundance of everything we have. And that maybe one day we can live with a barn mentality, with barn resources. I'm sure as we listen to that, a lot of us would like to be there. If I just had barn resources and a barn mentality, God, I could do such incredible things. Sometimes we think about what we have and the world around us. And I remember when I asked how many of you thought you were rich, one or two of you raised your hands. The reality is, when we compare what we have with the world around us, there's no doubt, at the very least, God has given us a basket overflowing. And most likely, when we compare ourselves with the rest of the world, we have barns that are overflowing, waiting to be used for His kingdom. See, it's not about the church getting your money or God getting your money, because He wants more than that. He wants all of you. He wants you to give your life to Him. Trust Him with what you have. Because when you do that, when you live in that way, when you give of yourself, you will be more blessed. Because Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I thank You. I thank You that, Lord, we can trust You and that You are faithful. Lord, that You are faithful to give more than we could ever give. Lord, it's not about money or stuff, and if we do that, that way I know we have the wrong attitude. This isn't an investment or a slot machine. Lord, this is honoring You so that we might grow. We might gain and be more blessed. Lord, my prayer for myself and for everyone here is that we have a basket mentality. And Lord, that one day, if not now, we'd live with barn resources and the barn mentality. Lord, so that maybe one day, rather than giving 10% and living off 90, we might be able to live off 10 and give away 90. Lord, may You create barn resources and the barn mentality in every person here as they seek to honor You. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, crap.